Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm very good. Very good. Thank you. Very good.
Look, it's no April Fools for the many thousands of people who are waking up today to the reality of the lifting of the eviction ban. How does that make you feel?
It makes me sad. It makes me sad and it makes me angry. It is saddening to watch it. But it also makes me very angry about something that wouldn't need to happen. But I think it was Meister Eckhart said that hope had two daughters, anger and courage. And it's important that we get angry, but it's also important that we have courage. And I suppose that's what I feel I have. I have anger, but I have courage to try and do something about it. And courage and anger produces hope. So for that reason, I am hopeful.
And talk to me, because you founded Focus Ireland almost 40 years ago, Sister Sanne, it's hard to believe. But how does the current housing crisis compare to then? You're saying that the crisis we are seeing now is the worst that you have seen in over 40 years, and you've seen a lot.
Oh, I've seen a lot. There's absolutely no comparison. Absolutely no comparison between what it was when I started way back in the 80s. It's what it is now. I mean, in those days, it was mostly men that were homeless. There were also some women. In fact, the first thing I did was research on the nature and extent of homelessness amongst women, and I discovered that there were 155 women in Dublin who were homeless. There were a small, small number of children, of youngsters, who were out. But basically, it was nothing like today. I remember I went round to different places to see what it was like, so I'd learn in order to be able to start myself. I went to Paris, and I could not believe that there were families homeless. I couldn't get my head around it. And now I see in Ireland the situation with so many families homeless, and it's almost normalised. It is awful.
And obviously it's this, not just the scale of it when we look at the amount of people who are in emergency homeless accommodation, but I suppose, Sister Sanne, it's also the type of people. It's not just, you know, as in the past, people with addiction or other issues. These are people with jobs and in some cases quite well-paying jobs who are also facing the prospect of eviction.
Absolutely. It's across the board now for everyone and it's frightening. And already, like before the ban came in last night, already people were phoning to say, what if I do get a notice? You know, they were expecting it. And people terrified out of their wits, especially women with children, terrified that they would be out on the streets. So when it comes, it will be awful for them. And you're right in saying that it's not just the poorer people or the people with addictions or with all kinds of problems and difficulties. It's not just them. It is also people who simply cannot find a place to stay. You see, the homelessness has changed. It has very much become an economic situation as much as it has been a problem situation. And it's awful because it's all confusing now, and people don't understand it. And one of the things about homelessness and about a home is, I suppose, it is the dearest thing in everybody's heart. But it's the thing we don't think about because we take it for granted until it hits us or until we see it with other people. And then it breaks our heart. It is really serious, and the most serious effect of it, of course, is the effect of it and the effect that it has on children. I mean, that is shocking, that a small child would be reared without a home, or a child reared in a bed of breakfast or in a homeless hostel.
Yes, and we know that there's more than 3,500 children who are currently homeless in Ireland. In terms of the trauma that will be experienced by those children, it's an adverse childhood experience that kind of lifelong impacts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the things we learn as small children, the things we learn and the way we have the comforts that a child needs to grow up and the kind of supports to grow into a mature young person and a mature adult, they aren't there. The opportunity to study, the opportunity to play, the opportunity to crawl, the opportunity to stand. I mean, those most basic things, they are not possible for children who are homeless. And so their whole life is in jeopardy.
Can I talk to you, Sister San, about the timing of the ending of the ban? I suppose there is no easy time to make that decision, but when do you think it should have been extended until? Would you have put a specific timing on it, or is it in relation to the supports that need to be there?
It's in relation to the supports that needed to be there, I think. This was not the right time to lift the ban, because the supports weren't there. If the supports were put in place, and they could be put in place, if there was the determination to do it, if they could be put in place, then, of course, a ban would be lifted. I would never see a ban on eviction as a long-term solution to homelessness. Not at all. But I would see that it was important to ensure that the proper supports were there and the proper kind of housing was planned and implemented to ensure that space was there. The government are saying, yes, this is going to happen. But I'll tell you, it will happen. It has to happen quickly, and we'll all have to be out there.
It's a crisis that extends beyond any individual party or its policies. But what do you think needs to be done politically at a national and local level, Sister San, to address this crisis?
Well, there is land, there's public land that is not built on. There are sites and there are houses that are not being used. They could be gone after right away, and change could happen right away. They could also bring in other kinds of... I mean, we're talking forever about bringing in this new kind of housing that could be erected quickly. I mean, why can't these things be done? And they're essential that they should be done. So it must be acted upon quickly. I mean, I really believe, but I suppose this is impossible, that it should be an all-party thing. You know, the people squabbling at each other and getting nowhere, actually. The way we dealt with the COVID, with the Taoiseach and the Thornisha and the people from health coming out every night and telling us what the state of play was and what should be done about it, something like that should be done with housing. This is a crisis. It's worse than a crisis. It's beyond a crisis. So that's what I think should be done.
Beyond a crisis, Sister Stanislaus Kennedy, the founder of Focus Ireland, speaking to me a little earlier. And to discuss that and more, let me introduce you to my political panel in studio today. They are James Byrne, Minister of State at the Department of Justice and Fianna Fáil TD for Wexford, Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrats TD for Wicklow and party spokesperson on climate, environment and biodiversity, and Éoin Reardon, Labour TD for Dublin Bay North and party spokesman on education and justice. Welcome to you all. Minister of State James Byrne, I go to you first of all, Sister San, talking about the phenomenon beyond a crisis that has been almost normalised. As that eviction ban gets lifted today, have you any regrets?
Look, very difficult decisions have to be made. Homelessness is a crisis, and we've all accepted that, and we're all working towards trying to address the situation with homelessness. I think everyone has immense regard for the wonderful work Sister Stanislaus has done over the last 40 years in highlighting the issues around homelessness and the real work she has done. When the moratorium was introduced, it was only ever meant to be a short-term measure to get past those winter months, and we had the high cost of living crisis as well. But as I said, it was no easy decision here to be made. The judgment call that was made is that if you were to continue this eviction ban longer than what's there or indefinitely, you will only create a worse situation, as more landlords will exit the market and you will have more people in a situation at one particular moment in time coming out.
And that argument James Byrne has been well rehearsed, but the reality is for many of the thousand people who are facing those eviction bans, the ones that go active today, but also the ones that are going to be levelled on them in the weeks and months to come, is that because of the cost of living crisis, because of the housing supply crisis, they're living in a permanent winter.
Now, they're living in a very, very difficult circumstances. There's no question about that. And people are going into homelessness. But there's also a very high rate of people being taken back out of that homelessness situation. It's not the same people who are constantly there. And the local authorities working with the government are doing immense work to help people find alternative places to live, whether they're on the social housing list, whether they're in private rental situations, whatever the case may be. And huge preventative work has been put in. I know fantastic and really hard work has been done by my own local authority in Wexford County Council in relation to this, and they're working all weekend as well in relation to it. And we're, according to Wexford local authority, anyway, they believe they have a solution for, certainly for everybody coming in that are facing the termination of tenancy this weekend. And the government has taken
in your constituency, but look, we've been hearing all weekend, looking at the figures and the statistics, it's everywhere. Do you think that the politics of the practicalities of this were really, really thought out in terms of what people are facing this weekend? We knew this moratorium was coming to an end.
Yeah, so individual people are facing a very difficult situation when they're facing their termination of tenancies. But the view and the judgment call is that if you continued it, you're creating an even bigger problem for more people in this situation. What we have to do is get to that position of increasing that supply, not making decisions that will reduce supply of rental accommodation that is made available. And during the period of the moratorium, Minister Dara O'Brien and the government did put in a number of steps in place to help to put that safety net in place to help minimise the fallout.
Of which there was some confusion yesterday when Minister Ryan appeared on Morning Ireland. I know he had to move to clarify that, and that would have been distressing for many, thinking that there was a safety net there that perhaps actually requires legislation. Éireann Reardon, what do you expect in the coming weeks as these notices are activated and as more fall due or levied against tenants?
Well, a disaster, really. I just want to go back to some of the rationale here behind the government's decision, because initially we were told that the AG had an issue with the eviction ban and the government was questioning its constitutionality and that it would face a legal challenge. And that argument is not being made anymore. Then we were told that the issue really was people coming home from abroad and needed to access their own private homes, and that's why we needed to end the eviction ban. That argument is gone. The new argument is that the eviction ban is making things worse. That's what the minister is saying. The only people who have this view are the government. Threshold don't agree with them. The DePaul Trust don't agree with them. Father Peter McVerry Trust don't agree with them. Focus Ireland don't agree with them. And we just heard from Sister Stan. So the only entity in the entirety of the debate around housing and homelessness who think that the eviction ban was making things worse are the government. So some of the magical solutions we've been presented with is this first refusal idea, that a tenant can have first refusal to buy the home in which they live, which, to be honest, is an insult. If somebody was renting for that number of years and had that level of insecurity around their accommodation, do you really think they would have bought a house by now?
So that they probably would many have. would not be in a position
and,
to afford.
And we also learned that this scheme, this first refusal scheme, isn't ready for today. Now we're told that also the tenant in situ scheme,
it's ready on an administrative level, but they may need legislation.
And then the tenant in situ scheme is the magic bullet, which we were calling for all last year. 7 properties in January and February in Dublin City, which is a pretty big local authority area, you can imagine, were acquired in January and February. What government could have done last October was to start rolling out all these measures and said, when the eviction ban comes to an end, we will have rolled out these measures, and we will have a statistical analysis as to not a time-based eviction ban, but a results-based eviction ban. And if we had 4 months of decrease in homelessness numbers, then it would make sense to lift
but
it.
But if we don't have some sort of a timing, as we know, it's a question of timing, so would you have allowed it to go on and to later this year, September or December, when even more numbers would have been facing
and
we would fit a bigger issue down the line?
No modelling was done by government. They've accepted that. They've admitted that. No modelling at all. What we were saying is that we needed some modelling to justify an ending of the eviction ban, what kind of effect it would have, and then after 4 months of decreasing numbers in homelessness, then it could be considered. But I'll make the point again. The only people who feel that this is a good idea are the government. Nobody else.
James Bryan was having a bit of a go at the Labour Party over your motion of no confidence earlier this week, and also cast Labour as, I suppose, the villains in the housing catastrophe that has struck us in recent years. Was he right to some degree when he said that when you were last in power, you turned off the tap for housing and you broke the pipe?
Like, if Fianna Fáil really want to go into a history lesson about the housing crisis in Ireland, we can do that. I want to talk about what's happening now. I mean, the woman I was spoken to yesterday, who has been evicted, who can't avail the tent and situ scheme because her accommodation isn't suitable for it, who can't buy her own home because she doesn't have financial resources to do it, who lives in Dublin 5, and there are four properties available in Dublin 5 under €2,000 to rent. Four. Now, I don't think a Fianna Fáil Labour squabble over history is going to help that woman. But Fianna Fáil know who collapsed the economy and the housing system 15 years ago. But I don't think that debate is going to help anybody, especially not the woman I was talking to yesterday.
And what about Labour's proposal to produce 50,000 new builds and 50,000 refurbishments a year? Where's that coming from? That
well, we built 60,000 during the Celtic Tiger a year. See, government can't have it both ways. You can't say that opposition opposes everything when we don't. We supported the Land Development Agency. We voted for it. We feel it's a good move. They can't say we don't have any plans. We produced a plan, which would have 1 million new homes in 10 years. 500,000 of those would be new constructions, 500,000 would be refurbishments. And that is ahead of what we did.
Do you not think if there was capacity to produce any more than we have at the minute,
from the housing department. These are from the housing department's own figures. But I think we're retreating again from the fact that the only people who think that the eviction ban ending is a good call, a genius move, are the government.
I want to bring in Jennifer Whitmore there. There's so much new terminology that is sort of coming into our lexicon, including the term overholding. And obviously a lot of tenants are facing a very, very stark choice for those that can continue to pay their rent of staying in situ and paying, and in the hope that that will protect their tenancy in some way. Do you think that more tenants will be refusing to leave because the options for them are so desperate?
I think there will certainly be many who will have to if you have nowhere else to go. You know, I think that will certainly be one of the considerations that people will have. And I think one of the things that has sort of been lost in this debate, because we're talking a lot about, as you say, numbers and a new lexicon around housing and homelessness, is the stress and the personal difficulties that people face in this situation. And
it's not the politics, it's the individuals.
And you know, it seems to me that there's 4,700 notices to quit have already been issued. That's a lot of homes, a lot of individuals. And I think that they are being forgotten. And it's nearly like they're collateral damage in this whole thing. And I think what's most frustrating for me is that the government should have used the time that the eviction ban went, that was in place. They should have used the time to actually come up with measures that were going to help those families, because each and every single one of those households is important, and each and every single one of those households deserves the protection of the state. And the government didn't do that. And rather than coming out and saying, OK, we're going to lift this ban and here's all the measures and the supports that will be put in place, we've actually had misinformation. We had the leader of the Green Party yesterday talking about the first refusal scheme, and that is incorrect. There is absolutely no obligation on a landlord currently to offer
The point of saying he apologised for that and saying, look, it actually would require legislation.
That was his second time In the same week making that same mistake. It is not good enough. He is the leader of a party in government, with such a serious issue. They should have their information right, and they should be given the correct information and not putting more stress on the families.
Can I ask you, Jennifer, and perhaps to Aon as well, do you give credit to the government for accommodating 80,000 refugees last year? And obviously it is a factor that is affecting our overall housing supply. Do you give them credit for that?
Absolutely. This is a separate debate. I mean, in all of the discussions that we had this...
But it speaks to the central issue.
Hold on. Look, there's a number of things we can support government on. And I mentioned the Land Development Agency. That figure and that crisis and that response didn't feature in any of the debates, any of the contributions from anywhere across the floor over the course of last week. And that probably gives credit to the type of debate that we did have, even though it was quite fractious at times. You know, there were Fianna Fáil representatives who were saying 5 or 6 years ago that the homeless figures were a scandal. So this completely predates whatever has happened in the last year. Of course, there are strains on the system. But Jennifer is absolutely right. If government had come out with these schemes and these initiatives last October and said that we will roll these out over the next 6 months, as we are absolutely going to end the ban on the 1st of April, then we've been able to see, you know, how effective they were or otherwise. But to be honest, the ending of this ban came as a surprise. Nobody in Leinster House really saw it coming.
We knew the time period.
Not really, because the mood music.
And is that not the fault of the opposition for not holding
the government
to account much earlier?
The mood music from in government was that it was going to be extended. It was a surprise when it wasn't.
I'm not quite sure it could be the street spread, because I think everybody in the street knew when it was coming to an end. James Byrne, I want to ask you about the no-fault...
The agencies were expecting it either.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the no-fault eviction bans, because ironically, in introducing it, albeit on a temporary basis, bringing in a moratorium actually brought us more into line with our European peers. Like, Ireland and the UK are outliers in this regard in having a no-fault eviction ban. And I think, you know, we have to consider that in the overall European context and looking at where the balance lies between the rights of landlords and their tenants.
You know, I think, look, it is the norm in other European countries that people, when a house is sold, that the tenant would travel with that house. We don't have that here in Ireland. We have a kind of very different landlord and tenant situation in that we don't really have a professional landlord class in this country.
That's not the fault of the tenants, and you can change that.
No, but I think to try and bring in that retrospective, there is very strong constitutional protections around property rights in this country to try and do that.
But for whom? For whom, Minister? Because, you know, when you look at separate but related figures today in respect of mortgage arrears, there are more than 5,500 people who have been in long-term arrears of 10 years or more. They're not being evicted, and yet ask anyone in the rental sector, if you were missing your rent for 10 weeks, you'd soon know all about it. And is there a different class of protection depending on whether you're a homeowner and a landowner or a property owner? For those, and look, we know there's a lost generation who simply could not buy a home in the last 10 to 15 years.
I certainly think if you look at the constitutional case law, I think it would be very difficult to do that respectively to existing tenancies. There's no question of that.
But going forward, you could.
There is also a very practical problem that if you do that to existing houses, so you're saying to the homeowner that your house can now only be sold to another landlord where they will buy that house and keep the tenant. I think the banks are issuing barely 4,000 mortgage to let mortgages at the moment, so you would massively
constrain supply. But the destruction of the mortgage to let sector far preceded this particular crisis.
No, it did, but you would constrain the supply even more. You would be drastically limiting who could actually buy those houses. And I think when you and maybe, you know, in certain parts of Dublin, it might possibly be workable. When you look at those one-off houses all around rural Ireland where a landlord has a house and it's rented out, I mean, saying that house can now only be bought by another professional landlord, if we seriously limit that.
Some countries and some cities, Jennifer Whitmore, have taken on some of the big classes, Paris, Miami, Amsterdam, even in terms of regulation of Airbnb. Listening to Sister Stan, she was saying there are things that we can do and that we can do now. What do you think of the measures that we can do? Because we can't have a permanent eviction ban. So what do you say are the measures we can do right now that can alleviate the situation?
Well,
for renters?
I think you've made a very important point. So this is a no-fault eviction ban. And as you say, the majority of other European countries do have that in place for, you know, like that you cannot just be put out if you have a tenancy and it's within its current contract terms, you cannot be put out. So I think that's something we need to regulate the rental sector a lot stronger here. And I think that would give both clarity and certainty, not just for tenants, but also for landlords. They would know the framework that they're working in. And I think the current switching and changing that they've experienced is probably one of the reasons that we're seeing some leaving the sector. The other thing we need to look at is, as you say, the Airbnbs. We have 12,000 Airbnbs currently at the moment that are operating outside the terms of their planning permission, and there needs to be a very significant regulation of those. Barcelona did it. They have a team of 35 people that are actually giving out fines of €60,000 if someone is operating an Airbnb without planning permission. And I think, you know, we need to regulate that industry a lot more than we are at the moment, and that could be a very quick way of turning those short-term rentals into what they should be, which is the longer term housing solutions. And then obviously there's the vacant housing tax. So we have 100,000 vacant homes that are sitting empty. The tax that the government brought in was 0.3%, which is negligible. Like that's not going to encourage anyone to turn their vacant home into a livable accommodation. So that needs to be much higher. And the Social Democrats would recommend that that would be 10%. And if you had it at 10%, that actually that would be an incentive enough to bring those homes into the schemes.
Eoin Reardon, just in terms of the balance that does need to be struck, whether you like it or not, people's wealth in this country and in neighbouring countries is based on their property, and their wealth is very much tied up with that, and the fortunes that there will be a lot of landlords who feel that they've been unfairly demonised for wanting to be able to use the properties in the best way for them and for their own family wealth.
Yeah, I accept that, and there's a cultural issue in Ireland, I suppose, about home ownership, but it's not working. And we've had housing at the top of the political agenda for almost generations now. And we are in the teeth of the highest homeless figures on record, the highest rents on record. So clearly something isn't working, and when you change something, somebody's going to be upset by it. But we have to, there isn't a moral equivalence. And I remember the Taoiseach saying this to us about the rights of property owners coming home from abroad versus those who are in housing insecurity. There is no equivalence between those two things. There is no equivalence between somebody who has massive insecurity in their lives when it comes to their accommodation, which leads to other insecurities in their relationships and in their work and where their children go to school, versus somebody's property rights. There's going to have to be a constitutional change, I would imagine, and there has been suggestions of a housing referendum. We have one on women's rights in November. There's no reason why we can't have a right to housing provision in the constitution in November on the same day, and then we can have a proper cultural shift when it comes to this question.
And that is actually arguably going to be the biggest thing that we need to change and challenge, which is the culture. Well, as we're aware, there is a protest ongoing outside the Dáil this lunchtime on that lifting of the no-fault eviction ban. It's an issue that we will no doubt still be talking about when the Dáil resumes after the Easter recess. But for now, let's take a quick break.